Welcome to the Press and Coverage Podcast. I'm Mason, as always, and my good buddy all the way out in his beautiful studio in State College, Pennsylvania, Max. Max, how are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic. Just a lovely afternoon here in State College, Pennsylvania, and enjoying a nice day off. How are you doing today, Mason?
I'm doing fantastic. What's the weather like up there, bud?
It's like 70 and sunny. It's perfect. I'm sure a lot better than the sidewalk melting temperatures you probably are getting right now.
Yeah, you know, it was 81 the other day, and it was fantastic, so it was a great lake day, so that's all I can really say. But, yeah, we're probably going to come back up to about 95, 99 in the next couple days.
Yeah, that's 81 here is, like, everyone freaks out and runs away. It's really funny. People now have been like, Max, shut up whenever they're like, this isn't hot. people just tell me to go away.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. I get where they're coming from, but we are like when I hear people say, "Oh yeah, I start sweating at 80 degrees." I kind of scoff at that.
Like 80 degrees is a lovely day, and I'm sure if any of my friends are going to listen to this, they're going to be like, "Max, I hate you right now. You're the worst."
That's fair. That's fair. Speaking of the worst, you want to talk about the NBA draft? Just kidding. This was not the worst, but this was actually a very fantastic draft, Max. You ready to jump right into it?
Oh, of course.
So, what would the NBA draft these days be without the process? Let's start at the top. Number one, the first overall pick, Markelle Fultz to the Philadelphia 76ers.
How do you feel? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Sixers.
Yes. All of the Sixers.
I think they did a very good job of trading up. I think they didn't give up too terribly much for the number one overall pick. Yes, you're only moving up from three. But this is their guy. This is who they wanted. If they are doing the process, if there's a guy that makes you want to move up two spots and you think that he is the person who is someone else you can build a franchise around, like, yeah, they still could have gotten a great player at three overall, but I think that there's times where you have to do that extra step to get your guy, the guy that you want to build around. And I'm really excited for Fultz. I think he's going to be a fantastic player in the league. He was awesome in college, and I'm excited to see what he does on the big show.
Yeah, and I think most importantly is he complements Simmons and Embiid very well. He can be that guy that when Simmons just passes to, you can automatically count on him to, you know, get his bucket. And so that's really good, because I was thinking, like, they shouldn't get a wing. They shouldn't get a guy that is too ball dominant, because that would, you know, you already have Simmons and Embiid as your two, who are probably going to be your primary ball handlers. Maybe not Embiid as much just because he is the center, but I think that Fultz is going to be great in the role that he's going to have in Philadelphia. But I think most importantly is that we need to realize is that this could be a big three core that grows together and becomes great and could be great for the next 10 years. So that's really exciting to look forward to. I think that one of the most exciting things in all of the NBA is watching a team slowly but surely pull itself out of the tank. And I think this is the next step for them. So very excited for Philadelphia. I will say that I don't think Boston got enough for that pick. For the number one pick. It just feels weird. Maybe you know, a year from now when we see the actual picks swap, we'll change our minds, and it'll also depend on how Fultz plays out. But yeah, I still think the Celtics could have gotten maybe a little bit more, but you know, Danny Ainge just loves to do trades, so he knows more about trades than I do. But still,
yeah, because you're the one who owns that number one pick. You have all the leverage in that situation, so I definitely agree with you that they should have press a little bit. We don't know how the trade talks went. This could have been the consensus after days and days of working on a trade, and this is what they finally agreed on. But again, you never know. There's been, especially in Boston's history, I've been recently watching their 30 for 30s, that they've had situations where they've traded back and they've gotten some fantastic players, and it's worked out really well from them. So I think they're used to doing that, and I think that it'll work out well for both teams, I think. But I agree that Philadelphia did come out in front on that trade. But my favorite thing about picking up Fultz is just how excited Embiid is for him. I think
oh, absolutely.
That Fultz was talking after the draft, like, yeah, Embiid has been texting me every day, and like he seems more excited than Fultz is that he's on the Sixers, which I think is hilarious.
Yeah, and it's so funny to think about, too. Well, yeah, not funny, but weird, kind of, that Embiid is 23 or 24 years old, because this is his fourth season in the NBA. This will be his fourth season in the NBA, but he's only played two. And so it's hard to remember that he is the oldest of them. And so he is like, and also he is the transcendent talent. He is the best of all three of those guys. I firmly believe that. Like, if he is healthy, he is dominant. And just like remembering those like 30 games that he played this season, they were so much fun to watch with him on the floor. And so that, I'm really hoping that he is healthy. I think the Simmons foot injury was kind of a freak accident. I don't think people need to start screaming out, oh, the city is cursed, but I'm so excited to see them playing. I am a bit bummed that Simmons is not going to summer ball, because I'm going to watch a ton of the summer league this year, just because we have a lot of second-year players going back to play, like Jaylen Brown on the Celtics, but we'll talk a little bit more about summer ball later on. So yeah, and also, if the 76ers, if Fultz does turn out to be a 6-7 time All-Star, then yeah, I think that the 76ers will definitely have gotten the better deal here. Unless Tatum becomes like the next Ray Allen, then, you know, we'll never know.
But you know what the weirdest thing was? Were you watching the draft live, correct?
Yes.
So on broadcast, you know how they always, after the pick, they kind of compare it to a current player in the NBA?
Oh, yeah.
That was the weirdest comp for who they compared to Fultz.
Remind me, who was it?
It was somebody on the Rockets. I forgot.
Oh, I remember who you're saying. Because I remember this guy was, like, good for, like, two seasons, and then he just kind of fell off, and I was like, oh, that's really weird. No, but they comped – we'll talk about Lonzo. Actually, we'll talk about Lonzo right now. They compared Lonzo to Ricky Rubio, a guy who can't shoot worth his life, versus Lonzo, who just can drain deep threes. I'm like, okay there, Jaylen. Okay.
Yeah, those were – I liked the – Jason Kidd comp a lot better.
Yeah, I agree with them. Me too.
So, Mason, have you bought your Big Baller Big Brand swag yet?
Baller Brand. It's hip. It's now. It's wow. It's happening. So yeah, you know, just the words of Zeus, in the words of to quote LeVar Ball, Zeus told him that Lonzo was going to be a Laker at birth. When Lonzo hatched from that tiny basketball. And oh man, that was one of my favorite post parent draft reactions I've ever seen, and it's made me appreciate LeVar Ball just a little bit more. And I think people need to ease up on LeVar just a little bit, but that's a different conversation. But yeah, you know, I'm very excited for the Lakers. It looks like Jordan Clarkson and Lonzo are going to be the front court for the foreseeable future. The back court for the foreseeable future. And it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun, you know, if Brandon Ingram can, you know, put on some muscle and develop. I think they've got a really fun team for the next couple of years, especially if they're able to get Paul George. So I still don't think they'll be able to beat the Warriors, but it'll at least make the Lakers fun again, which is what I think the NBA needs. I think that there are few things more fun to watch in the NBA than either a good Knicks team or a good Lakers team. Like, just, do you remember, like, when Linsanity was, like, just sweeping the nation, like, how much fun that was?
Yeah, it was.
Like, no, they weren't necessarily the best team, but man, that was so much fun. Just, like, that was so much fun for the NBA.
Just those large market teams are both local, or both in the U.S. and internationally. It's just what drives the sport forward. Like, the Yankees, the Dallas Cowboys, the Lakers, the Knicks, just... Those were the brands people know throughout the world. And I think Los Angeles taking a local talent, he is LA's guy. He is a fan since birth. Yes, you get the baggage of LeVar, but I think that it's LA. There's already so much distractions and things going on in the city that I think that it's the best place for him to go with the situation he's already in. He's already used to being in the spotlight, which... is yeah. What you're going to be in LA. And
yeah.
They need they just need to move forward. They don't have that superstar right now since Kobe retired, and I think this is just them opening a new chapter in the legacy of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, I know Ball didn't go first, but and I love Fultz. I like Fultz a lot. But I think of all the prospects in this draft, Ball has the highest ceiling. I think he absolutely has the highest ceiling of any of these players. Does it mean he's going to be better than them? No, not he's going to be the best. No, not necessarily. But I think that his peak is higher than anyone else's peak in this draft. And so he just – Magic obviously sees a lot in him that, you know, sees a lot of himself in Lonzo. And, you know, Magic's like a savant when it comes to basketball. So I'm not going to question that pick at all. And, yeah, it is exciting for L.A. I watched the draft with one of my friends who was from Los Angeles, and he was so excited because, you know, he said he hadn't seen a UCLA player this fun to watch in a very long time. And the fact that he gets to stay home and go to his favorite team is – I'm excited for him and all Lakers fans, really.
So since you did mention it already that you think that Lonzo has the highest ceiling, let's compare number one and number two. 5 years from now, we look back, who do you think is going to be considered the better player?
Well, here's the way I think it's going to turn out. I think Embiid is going to stay the star of the 76ers, but I think Ball is going to be the star of the Lakers. So just in terms of, I think, what a majority of people are going to think is better, or just the bigger name, it will be Lonzo. I actually think that's because the Lakers are in L.A. There's a little bit bigger market than Philadelphia. But that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be the better player than Fultz. Because their games are very different. Lonzo can get rid of the ball in a second and set up a play for someone else to score. Whereas, you know, Markel can score from just about anywhere on the court and through any which way. He doesn't have any real flaw in his offensive game. And both need to really work better on defense. I think Fultz will be the better defender. Yeah, like I said, there's no real hole in Fultz's offensive game. But with Lonzo, I am a little bit worried about him being able to score off the dribble. But that can be fixed with coaching. Yes, his shot is weird, but that can be fixed with coaching. I'm not too worried about that. So I think, again, kind of just to summarize, I think Ball will be the bigger name, but Fultz might be the more complete player.
I completely agree with you. I think that in the public eye and just the more casual fans, I think Lonzo will definitely be held to a higher degree than Fultz will, but I think that people who are really into the basketball world will be able to see that what Fultz is bringing to bring that core of the Sixers together is just as valuable as Lonzo's face of the franchise.
Exactly.
But I do see if, with all the stuff off the court, I can see Lonzo falling a lot harder than Fultz will.
I think Lonzo's going to be way easier to root against just because of all this drama and that LeVar has done and all the ridiculous things that he's said. But I heard that, you know, when they had their meeting with Magic, LeVar kind of said, you know, a lot of this is an act, kind of just, you know, get people's attention. I really want my son to be a Laker. He'd really enjoy it. This would be great for our family. So, yeah, again, like, I just think that LeVar is just going – he's just been taking notes from the Donald Trump school of getting attention and just saying ridiculous things on TV, and so people keep covering him. So
be the loudest guy in the room, and everyone will pay attention to you.
Absolutely. And so I think it'll be easier to root against Lonzo just because of that. But I don't think LeVar – I think from here on out, I don't think LeVar is going to have much of a – you know, I don't think he's going to be that distracting anymore.
All right, so now moving on to pick three, the second half of the biggest hype going up to the draft, the big trade. We have the Celtics taking Jason Tatum. So what is your opinion on that?
That boy is smooth like a milkshake. He's a fantastic shooter. He was – arguably the best shooter on that Duke team last year between him and Luke Kennard. The man can truly be the unselfish version, the true version of Rudy Gay. Because, you know, sorry, Rudy. Rudy's kind of a, how do I say this politely, a lazy sack of crap.
Howard syndrome.
Well, yeah, that's a different comp. But, like, man, if Rudy would have pushed himself, this is a totally different tangent, but if Rudy would have pushed himself, he could have been the best player in in basketball for like 3 years. I truly believe that, but he never did. So shout out to Rudy. But yeah, I think he fits real well. You know, we know Danny Ainge loves his wings. And Tatum's, you know, he's not like Marcus Smart. He can get a shot in. Like, Marcus Smart's good and he can defend, but they really need a guy other than Isaiah Thomas who can make shots. And I think that Tatum really fits that role. I don't think this pick is too complicated. People were saying, oh, should it have been Jackson? Should it have been Tatum? But they got to work out Tatum and they didn't get to work out Josh Jackson. And again, like I said, Jackson can't really, his shot is a concern and Tatum's is not. So I think that is why they took Tatum. I'm totally cool with the pick. And it'll have to be 3 or 4 years before we can say, oh, Tatum or Jackson are the better player. Sort of like with Fultz and Lonzo.
Yeah, I think early on, or I know I was watching the draft when Jackson got picked fourth, they're like, oh, were you surprised you didn't go third? And he's like, they didn't respect me. They didn't want to talk to me at number one, so I'm not going to come to them at number three. So I think if Josh Jackson turns out to become the better player and the reason that they didn't get him is because they didn't bring him in for a workout.
They didn't bring him in because Danny Ainge flew all the way to Sacramento and they canceled the meeting.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, it was the agent that did it, apparently. I believe that because I don't think you can hold a kid accountable that's, you know, 18, 19 years old. So I think I was confused by that. I was like, why would they do that? But yeah, that was weird. So yeah, Danny Ainge had to fly to Sacramento and back. So he went across the country twice that day. So yeah, I can understand why he would be pretty slighted and upset by that, but you know, yeah, but, I wouldn't be mad at the kid. I'd be mad at the agent.
I agree. So, but I think Boston is very much in a more of a win now mode with how they did last year. You have to say that they're compared to Golden State and Cleveland, it's hard to beat them, but their timeline right now is in the next 2 to 3 years.
I think what we should say is they are in win now, but it doesn't mean that they aren't in building for the future, because that's what they're also doing, I feel, with the gathering. They have 8 first-round picks in the next 3 drafts, which I think that they're going to be – I doubt that they're going to make 8 first-round picks. I highly doubt that. I think they're definitely going to make some trades. Cough, cough. Maybe we see Anthony Davis on the move in 2 years or a year. So we'll see.
I see that Tatum gives them because he was the most ready guy out of the draft.
Absolutely.
For the league. And since he can be slotted right into their lineup and be a guy who can help them right now with the high level of play that they're currently at.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Anything else about the Celts? So do you think – again, yeah, the trade is very – could have been more, but I think that they just wanted to gather for the future. Like you were saying, they want those picks for the future.
Yeah, I think that they're planning something. I just don't know what it is yet. I think they're gathering the pieces to land an All-Star. But it's so hard for me to make a final greater statement on this draft for the Celtics before free agency. Because I really want to see what they end up having at the end of at the start of next year. I think the draft should be after free agency, because after free agency you know what you have a better picture of what your team is going to look like next year, and so then it becomes easier to make those selections for teams. So I think that would help out the teams more. But yeah, I can't really make a final grade for the Celtics until we see Gordon Hayward in a green and white uniform.
Ooh, that'd be really cool.
Yeah, I'd love to see Gordon Hayward and the president reunited like they were at Butler. RIP the half-court shot that was 1 inch away from going in.
So close, but so far.
Absolutely. So you want to talk about the Phoenix Suns?
Definitely. So I think that with what we were just talking about, the previous pick, they did get a fantastic player at number 4. I think that a guy who could have gone before this pick. He is going to be fantastic in both sides of the court, and I think he'll be a good player for them, but is he the best player to build around, or like where are they going, this franchise? Yeah. Which is, what you wanted to get into.
Yeah, I like the pick because they got the best guy available. They for sure got the best guy available. And my thing is that, okay, they just got another athletic guy that can run the court. They didn't really get a guy that can shoot because that is his biggest concern is, does he have a shot? Well, you know who also had that concern? Kawhi Leonard had that concern. And look at him now. He's the third best player in the NBA. But he wouldn't have become this best version of Kawhi Leonard if he hadn't have gone to the Spurs and developed a jump shot, because they have the greatest shooting coach in arguably the entire NBA, if not the world. So had Josh Jackson gone to the Spurs, I would have been ecstatic about it. But I don't know if the Suns have a shooting coach that can help him develop his shot, because his three-pointer is funky. It is really weird to look at. Not as weird as Lonzo's, but it is still very odd. And so it's just, to me, like, okay, they got Marquese Chriss, they got Dragan Bender, you know, guys who can run and space the floor. Bender can shoot. He can shoot threes, but, like, if Jackson doesn't develop a shot, he'll be, like, I feel like his ceiling is just, like, a baby version of Andre Iguodala, mm-hmm. who can kind of do a little bit of everything. He can defend very well. I believe that. And he's going to be a phenomenal dunker. I just don't know if he's going to develop. I don't know if that's going to be his fault or the coaching staff around him. They got the best player there, but I don't know if the best player that was available is going to be able to be paired well with Devin Booker. But you know, we're just going to have to see. They could be a fun league pass team.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. It's so hard to rebuild from the ground up, and Devin Booker's a fantastic player, but I feel like they're still a few years away from being a fantastic team in the West, but are they going to be able to amass that team around them and keep them to be able to rise up and make use out of these early picks?
Yeah, I'm not even at the point where I'm going to say, oh, they'll be good in 4 years, because I don't know if they have the pieces to be good in 4 years. So that's where I'm at with Phoenix. But, you know, it'll be interesting. I'm really interested to see how Jackson develops. I think he'll be a fun player to watch next year, but it might be frustrating for Phoenix fans if he does not become the best version of himself. Speaking of frustrated fans, let's talk about good old Sacramento Kings. They got their guy. We knew that they've been in love with this guy all along. They picked De'Aaron Fox out of Kentucky at number 5, and I think that he was the best guy available as well. However, I do think they could have waited. Well, if Jackson was at 5, I think they should have taken Jackson and then waited to take their point guard at 10. But they took the guy that they were in love with, and I can't really fault them for that because I love Fox. He really, really – he's such a good competitor, and he can help start a culture change in Sacramento. So we'll see. And that's kind of a trend we saw with all of their picks in this draft, was they took all high-character guys for the most part who can really change the culture. So – you know, it'll be interesting to see if they all develop and they all become great. It'll be a fun big four to watch, but you know, it's Sacramento, so I'm not willing to place my money on that.
I agree. It's a weird, they're such a weird franchise to me, the Sacramento Kings. Like, it's not what you think of when you think of the NBA. I think I agree with you. I loved watching his post-draft interview. He seemed like a great guy. He seems like like you said, he's gonna be high character. And I think that, again, is he going to be a guy to build around? Hopefully. But these situations that these players are going into are tough because they're brought in as like, okay, you are part of our future. But when it's basketball and there's so few players that have that direct impact in the game, I feel like it's a lot harder to build with nothing around you. And with their big trades that they've having, they did do a few trades in this draft. They're definitely going all in on the young guys and hoping a few of them hit and can establish a good young core with their team.
Yeah, and the friend I was watching the draft with, he was like saying how it's kind of weird that the NBA now, it's like you will very rarely see a player that can single-handedly turn the fortunes of a team around and just by himself. Like it is a process, you know. And it's so interesting, and I think it's good for the league, because that means I think there's more talent in the league, and then teams are better run. That doesn't mean that you can't be, you know, one piece away, but like, you don't see guys coming in and just changing the entire culture right away. And by culture, I mean like ability to win games and become a competitor. And so it's more kind of like baseball, where it's just like, it depends on the year and it depends on, you know, how deep and solid the team is. So,
I think both of these franchises are, with the Suns and Sacramento, they're kind of in this no man's land, especially with how the lottery works, that they aren't the worst, but they aren't anywhere near competing, and they're kind of stuck in this in between where they're still early picks, but you aren't getting the 1, 2, 3 and getting these elite guys at the very top of the draft, which could be turned into those superstars, compared to these 4, 5, 6 guys who are going to be great, solid players, but might not have that same ceiling.
Yeah, and that's typical with most NBA drafts, but what was so special about this draft is that we could potentially see 7 or 8 all-stars come out of this draft. And that is also very unlikely. That's only if everyone becomes as good as we think they can be, but which doesn't always happen. So, but that's why this draft is so special, and next year's draft could be just as special, if not more. And now we move to number 6, the Orlando Magic, probably the most unfortunate fan base in all of basketball, just because no idea what's happening there. They drafted Jonathan Isaac at 6, which is good. They finally got a guy that can shoot. I heard it wasn't Jalen Rose, but someone else at that table said he's kind of like the next Anthony Davis. Yeah, good luck with that comp. Way to set someone up for failure. But, you know, I think that's good, a good start. It looks like they're giving Elfrid Payton one more year to see if he can really develop, because he's shown that he can kind of shoot, maybe. But, like, they have a similar situation with Phoenix, I think, that they've been burned by too many guys that don't have any jump shots, and that's really hurt them. And so they got a guy that for sure does, and Jonathan Isaac, who can also do a lot of different things. And if he puts on some muscle, he can be very dangerous.
Yeah. Again, like you were saying, what else does Orlando have? They are one of the most talent void teams within the league, and this guy does have the skills, but I think that they really, where do they go from here? They do. Yeah. I know they brought in John Hammond, who has been fantastic in the front office. Obviously, he's the guy who drafted Giannis.
Giannis. Yeah. He was the Bucks former. He worked for the Bucks, and now he's the GM of Orlando. And the direction in which I would guess is that they're trying to go in a similar way of the Bucks, and that they're trying to get those long, lanky, you know, guys that have length, that can really, that make it very difficult to stretch the floor for other teams. So, you know, but it's going to be so hard to see this plan manifest, you know, till 3 years from now.
But I think what the things I've been reading, they've been giving Isaac Brandon Ingram comps, which, okay.
Maybe.
Cool.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know. Again, it's going to be a few years to determine if these guys are going to really help out this team or not. But we'll see. You got to go with the best available, and I think this was the best available.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. So it'll be interesting to see. So now on to my personal favorite moment of the draft last night. Instead of picking the 7th overall, the Minnesota Timberwolves traded with the Chicago Bulls for Jimmy Butler, and all they gave up was Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, and the 7th pick for a top 15 player in the NBA. Bulls, what are you doing?
They're going full process. That's what they're doing, Mason.
No, they're not even going full process, because they don't have Hinkie. Like, this is just incompetence. At least Hinkie had it, like, knew what he was, well, I say this now, but he might not have, but at least Hinkie, like, openly said, hey guys, we're gonna suck. We are just prepared to embrace the suck. The Bulls have said nothing like that, and I just don't, like, Bulls, oh my god. Okay, here's what they gotta do. Fire everybody. This is one of the worst things I've ever seen. They could have. And also, the fact that Boston didn't get to pull the trigger on this is also very interesting to me. because you think, you know, Boston has the most assets of anybody in the NBA right now, tradable assets at least. They didn't get Jimmy, so that's also very interesting. But man, this automatically makes the Timberwolves a okay. I won't say automatically makes them a playoff contender in the West, but man, now that they got that veteran guy that will just be there in the trenches and can like really set the tone for them. Because like I love Towns and I love Wiggins, but Towns needs to learn defense, and I don't know why Tibbs hasn't taught him yet, but hopefully Jimmy will help him give him that spark and help set the team for the tone for the team. However, they're still not very deep, but you know, when has it ever been bad to add a top 15 player in the NBA to your team whose name is not Dwight Howard?
Yeah, so I know I was reading after the draft a few tweets saying that Boston said that they've been trying to work out with Chicago a trade for a very, very long time. They could just not agree on something, which is surprising. Like what you said, they have so much assets that they're able to trade. But I know that Chris Dunn was somebody that Chicago was interested in the last draft, correct?
Yes, they were. They were interested in him. And I am kind of shocked they got him because, well, like that they didn't get more. Because Chris Dunn had a very bad rookie campaign. And I don't know if that's because, you know, he just didn't work with Tibbs. But he looked like he was very defense heavy. I think also a big concern was his age because he is old. Sorry, not old. Older than a lot of the freshmen. But, yeah, I still just don't know for Chicago.
I guess this was just a buy low scenario since... it still doesn't make sense because they could have gotten a lot more for
Butler.
An amazing player.
Yeah, I mean, LaVine, I love LaVine. He's a ton of fun to watch, but he doesn't play defense. He can score the bucket, so I guess he can be your sixth or seventh man in Chicago, but he's not someone to build around, and Dunn hasn't proved that he can be that either. And Markkanen could be good. Don't you dare compare him to Dirk because he will never be that good. Not never be that good, but he will never beat Dirk. No one will ever beat Dirk. Markkanen can be a shooting guy. He can't play defense. Like, he shoots, and that's all he really does. So, again, he's not someone to build around either. So you have three young pieces that aren't pieces that you can build around, and you had – and I'm confused. I'm confused, Max. My head hurts.
Some teams got it, some teams don't in terms of being able to work out deals that are helping the build for the future, but I agree with you. I don't see this working out for Chicago, and it really sucks because of how great of a basketball town they are.
I agree.
You would think that they would have a better managed team, but just they've just been on a slippery slope to nothingness since all the knee injuries of
Derrick Rose.
Derrick Rose, yeah.
R.I.P.
With all of Derrick Rose, yeah, rest in peace. But I guess, like, again, there's I don't know who else would you think? Do you think they would have taken Smith? Do you think that would have been a better pick for them?
Is this the best pick available
for Chicago? Is this a guy worth trading for this pick for?
I'm just like, you had Malik, I'm going to say this, like, this has been like my story for the entire draft. You had Malik Monk right there, and you didn't take him. They couldn't take a point guard because that would have been, you know, Chris Dunn is a point guard, Zach LaVine is a point guard, and then you would have had another young point guard. You don't need three young point guards in the same roster. And, you know, the way the basketball's going, you don't take a big man that high. But, I'm not sure. I get Markkanen. The pick itself is okay, like him at 7, I am okay with. The pick for the Bulls, I just still like, I don't get it. So they're going full youth movement. That's the only positive I could say is that yeah, they're going all young. Dwayne Wade's probably gonna get traded. He's getting paid and he's gonna get traded next season. So
I honestly think how Chris Dunn performs when he gets to Chicago is gonna determine if this is just like one of the worst trades in recent history, or if this could be actually a decent trade for Chicago. Because while he did have a terrible first year, he was a highly touted prospect. There's something Chicago really saw in him that they wanted. If this is their guy that they weren't able to get, yes, they may have extremely overpaid for him, but if he's able to develop into what everyone thought he could be, I could see this not being the worst trade for Chicago. But that's just me looking at the bright side. The chances of that happening now, especially with how he performed, is quite low.
Yeah, I agree. So, from one dumpster fire to the next, let's talk about the Knicks. Malik Monk was right there at the eighth pick. He was right there at the eighth pick. But instead, they took Filthy Frank from France, a.k.a. Frankie Smokes, a.k.a. the Marlboro Man. So there have been, like, seven ways to pronounce this guy's last name. I was saying it Frank Ntilikina, but apparently the N is silent. So apparently just Frank Ntilikina. And I said that with a question mark, so I have no idea. But, yeah, they took the 18-year-old point guard out of France, who one of my favorite stories of this draft was he had to fly home in the morning so he could go and play in the championship game of the league that he plays in France. So never stop grinding, Frankie. Never stop grinding. But from just a scheme standpoint, this pick makes sense. He's very good on defense. The potential is there on offense. He fits very well in the triangle. Still am sad that we don't get a Malik Monk in New York pick, because that would have been so much fun. Like we talked about, fun Knicks teams are very, very hard to beat in just in terms of entertainment and spectacle.
So I think this is a very boom or bust pick for them, since the Knicks are in, they're just in terrible shape right now. They're not in any situation to be a competing team for at least a few years. I think that this is a kid who, he is playing in a professional league right now, which most players in this draft cannot say that they're doing. Yes, college is very competitive, but he's playing against guys who are pros. Yes, it's not the NBA, but they're still pro athletes. So I think that is definitely a big advantage that this guy brings in. But I think that he's somebody who they can develop for years and doesn't have to be in that perfect, okay, we need you to be the best player right now because we're trying to win scenario. But I can see him also being a huge bust because he is so young, and there are other players in the draft who have had college experience, which I don't know, honestly, the competitiveness of this French league when compared to the NCAA NBA, but I think it's a Hail Mary pick for them, and nothing wrong with it, but again, like you said, they could have had Monk here, which would have been, I think, a fantastic pick.
Yeah, I also think this could be a boom or bust pick just because what consistency does he have around him? Like, I think he's 2 or 3 years away from, you know, really starting to see, okay, this guy can be, you know, a very good contributor. But who knows if Phil Jackson and that regime will even be there in 2 or 3 years. So, and then he's on to a new team they're not going to run the triangle. Once Phil leaves, they're not running that dang triangle anymore. Like, just put the triangle to bed. It needs to just go away. And just like, you can't, it's outdated. And unless you have the best player or the second best player in the NBA on your team, then it's not going to work. And the Knicks don't even have, you know, the 50th best player in the NBA on their team. So there's that. But yeah, I'm excited for the kid. He's very mature. I was very impressed by how mature he was for his age. And I think that's the benefit of playing in a professional league in France, is that he is already a professional in the French league. And so he knows how to carry himself. So that'll be exciting. I hope he makes Kristaps happy, because I want Porzingis to stay in New York, just because, you know, like I said, fun New York teams. But I just want Porzingis to be happy. That's all I want. That's all I want, Max.
Yeah, they're really, for how great he's been for that franchise, that was a home run pick that they had with him. I feel like they're really disrespecting him, and he's a guy you can build around for the future, a guy who can be the next face of one of the most iconic franchises in the league. But I doubt they're going to trade them unless they get just the most absolutely ridiculous offer. But it is the Knicks, with how horribly they are managed, you never know. But yeah, I agree with you. If you keep him happy, he says he wants to be there. He wants to be a Knick.
I just think his relationship with Phil Jackson is toxic, and I just think that Phil Jackson is toxic now. Moving on. Number 9, the Dallas Mavericks selected Dennis Smith out of NC State. I can safely say I watched one NC State game this entire season, and it was when they upset Duke. And Dennis Smith hammered a dunk, and I was like, I'm in love. And so this guy is going to fit so perfectly in Rick Carlisle's system. And this is the first top 10 pick that the Mavericks have had in the Mark Cuban era, that still astounds me. I still think that they are one of the top five or six run organizations. I know they haven't been true competitors in a while, but just remembering those early 2000 teams to 2010, you know, they were always run the right way, and hopefully he can be the start of kind of a rebuild. I know Dirk will not be lasting much longer. The Splash Father, Father Time, I will love you, miss you so when you retire, but that's another pod. Yeah, I think he's going to fit really well in Carlisle's system. He just needs to really play defense. I think that he might get put in the doghouse because he doesn't play defense that well, or he just might not put in the effort to. Man, he can just, he's so going to be so good in the pick and roll. He's got that burst of athleticism that we so desperately need from the point guard position. So I'm excited for him. That's all I really had to say. And he might be Rookie of the Year next year, either him or Lonzo. That's my pick.
Ooh, hot take with Mason. But I agree. I think he was great for the Mavs. I think we do need to think about the future, especially with Dirk's time sadly coming to an end. I know his biggest complaint was his work ethic and his commitment to giving 100% at all times. But I think coming into Dallas is a great situation, especially with Dirk still there. I think Dirk is a great mentor for any young player in the league. And I think that if, again, what you said is a great ran franchise. And I think coming to Dallas will give him the tools to develop to the best of his abilities, but will he have the dedication to do that? You never know, but you hope this, this is your dream to get drafted into the NBA. You think that once you get there, you're going to put in the work to become the best person possible. But there's always that what if. But I'm excited, especially as a Mavs fan, to see what he can do for our team.
Exactly, me too. So that's nothing but nice things to say about Dennis Smith. I'm excited for the kid. Moving on, number 10. So Portland traded up to the 10th spot. Sacramento traded down so they could pick up the 15th and the 20th pick. And, all right, Kings, I liked your first pick. I hated this. This might be selfish of me, but the Kings could have had a very fun team. They still might, but they could have had Fox and Malik Monk on the same team. That could have been their backcourt for the next. It could have been Monk, Buddy Hield, and De'Aaron Fox for the next 10, 15 years. And Monk already has the benefit of playing a year with your starting point guard in De'Aaron Fox. So it makes sense. I mean, and those two are so much fun to play together. And I understand they're trying to like get more assets or whatnot. But Jackson and Harry Giles, they're not better than Malik Monk. I don't get it. You have the best player available right there, and you didn't take him.
So when did this trade go through? Right when they were on the clock?
Yeah, I would have guessed it was a draft night trade.
Okay, so I think this move for them was a quantity over quality.
But why?
I don't know, but what we were going with earlier, we were saying that these young teams don't have the personnel to compete. So I think they're saying, hey, let's take two risks. I agree. I think they should have gone with Monk.
I know what you're saying, and I know you don't think that quantity over quality is better in the NBA, because especially when there's so few players, like, okay – LeBron James, there's not three players you could trade for him that would equal his contribution to one team. Like, that's not how the NBA works. Like, it's about star power. And by that I mean, like, yes, you need a complete team to win, but you win with stars. Like, the only team in the past 15 years that didn't have a star on the team that won were the Pistons. And that's just because that was just the perfect run team. And you don't see that in the NBA. Anyways, that's a tangent, but, like, The only upside I see to this is that not getting Monk is that you got Jackson out of North Carolina, very high quality guy in terms of character. Same with De'Aaron Fox, very high character guy. Buddy Hield, high character guy. And so that's what I said earlier, is I think they're building young guys who can bring a culture change to the team. And so that's the only upside for me right here at this pick, is that you got two high quality guys instead of one. And if they all develop, then yes, you have four good guys instead of just two or three good guys. So, yeah, there's that. But I am still mad that I am not going to see De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk on play together ever again.
So, on the pick now, Zach Collins to Portland.
Yes.
I think this was a very much just a fit, a need pick. like you were saying earlier, what is the need really in this modern NBA for that classic big man? But I think that he fills a hole for them, and what they had to give up was for the 15th and 20th pick to be able to go up and move this guy. I think to fill a hole, it makes sense for them.
Yeah, for Portland, this is a good pick. They need help on defense. They need a big guy that can score that's not named Nurkic. So, yeah, I think this is a good pick. I have no problems with this pick on the Portland end.
So now moving on to Mason's
the most shocking pick in the NBA draft. Malik Monk was selected by the Charlotte Hornets. Michael Jordan didn't select a tall white guy. Max, am I dead? Have I died and gone to heaven?
You might have. This is.
I'm shocked. I'm truly shocked. I thought with all my heart they were going to take Luke Kennard right there, and I was going to throw my new TV out the window in just frustration. But they, you know, they got Monk. They got Malik Monk, and the Hornets are now. I'm going to watch more Hornets games so I can watch Malik Monk, because I truly believe he can be the next Ray Allen. Truly believe that.
I think, yeah, great pick by them. He was 100% the best player available. 100% it's a steal at that number 11 pick. A guy who could have easily gone four or five picks earlier than that. So I think you got to grab him when he's there. And they definitely need more talent with that team and just another guy to provide offense for them.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I just, again, like if this just becomes a Malik Monk pod, I'm sorry, but I love the kid. He's just athletic and he can shoot, and that's so valuable in today's NBA, and I think he's going to be a star. I think he's going to be a star. Congrats to you, MJ, for not drafting a white guy. Although, shout out to the number 12 pick, Luke Kennard from Duke. He got picked by the Detroit Pistons. He's a guy that can shoot, and that's what Detroit needs. That works for their need and kind of just the best player available there. But I still have no idea what the Pistons are going to end up doing in the future. That's all I really have to say about that pick.
Yeah, I don't. What are the Pistons? Nobody knows. Yeah. But again, I guess in this point in the draft, you just got to go with filling need and best available. And I think this fits both of them for them. So I think a good pick.
Yeah, I think it's a good pick too. Moving on to 13, Utah. They selected Donovan Mitchell, the shooting guard, or the guard out of Louisville. I think this is a great pick. I think they're preparing for life after Hayward, because I think he does a lot of similar things that Hayward does, or did, I guess I should say, for Utah. But I'm acting like it's for certain that he's leaving, so I shouldn't say that. But I think he's a good pick for them. He can add more depth if Hayward stays, but he can fill that role of a lot of things that Hayward did if he leaves. So I think good pick. He was best available, and he's going to help them in a variety of different ways. So I like the pick a lot.
I agree. Great pick. It'll stink, though, because they're filling a hole that hopefully doesn't need to be there. But I agree, they are preparing if Hayward is to leave. But it stinks that you aren't moving forward. You're keeping your team where it is just to be able to sustain it, which... Yeah. It's hard to do, I feel like, when you really need that talent for a team to move forward, and you're not doing anything to make the team better, you're just not making them worse, which I don't think is sustainable for the future, which really stinks, because if they can get Hayward, I think that's fantastic, and keep him, and I think that'll make this pick even better. But if he were to leave, I think it's like, okay, cool, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, this pick is kind of made with, like, heavy hearts, because it's like, you know, you're like, yay, this guy is going to be great, but he's going to also take the place of probably our best player, so.
So, moving on to...
The last pick of the lottery.
South Beach. Bam, who got his name after watching the Flintstones.
Oh, my God. Bam Adebayo out of Kentucky. This was a very weird pick. I am very confused by this pick. They drafted a center / forward. I thought they were gonna I thought they were gonna take Justin Jackson, who they could have paired with Justice Winslow, but that didn't happen. They took Bam Adebayo. It just, like, they already have a good center. I feel like this is a weird pick. Like, yes, he will add depth to the center position, but you don't really need depth at the center position. So I was kind of confused by this pick.
I agree. I think it was one of the not good picks of the lottery. And I think that there was better players available, like Justin Jackson, who they could have picked up, who would have been a better asset to their team. But again, I guess they just, if it's a guy they like, they got they like. I think if their appreciation of this player kind of trumped their need. In this area of the draft, I think that they were more like, let's take our guy than let's take just someone who can plug a hole with.
Yeah, and that's fair, because a lot with the NBA draft, it is more you draft on talent than need, so that's not a ludicrous pick. It might be weird to us, but it's not a left-field ludicrous pick.
Yep, gotten through the lottery.
Yep.
Is there any other picks in the second half of the draft that you would like to talk about?
Yeah, one of my favorite picks so I have two picks to talk about. One of them was very frustrating. The other one was, I'm very happy for. Caleb Swanigan, who probably finished third in player of the year voting, got picked by the Trailblazers at 26, I believe, 26 or 24. It was 26. And I think he's going to be a good player in the NBA. He might not be a superstar, but he can do a lot of everything. He can rebound, he can shoot, he can pass too. He's got, like, hidden good passing ability. And he broke David Robinson's, I believe he broke it, his double-double record in college last year. So I'm excited to see what he can do, whatever role he takes on. It'll be very fun to watch for the Trailblazers. And another one is at the 38th pick. The Chicago Bulls picked Jordan Bell, who I love. I thought that was a very good pick. It's like, oh, okay. You know, Bulls, you messed up earlier, but here, like, you're taking a step in the right direction to fix it. Nope, they traded Jordan Bell to the Warriors for cash considerations, and Jordan Bell's going to become very good for the Warriors, and they're going to be even more unbeatable and even more destroyer of worlds. So that's cool. Thanks, Bulls, because I love what Jordan Bell does. He does a little bit of everything. He plays crazy good defense, and he just gets rebounds like it's his job, because now it is. And he's the type of player that you need if you want to really be competitive with Golden State. And they traded him for cash considerations.
Yeah. So some picks that I liked in the second half of the draft, the guy who everyone is going to be talking about because of who they're drafted by, not really because of who they are, is whoever goes to the Spurs, which happened to be Derek White.
Of course.
I guess a guy not really on my radar, but when you're drafted by the Spurs, you automatically get jumped up 10-15 spots to where you are. But
oh absolutely. You mean you have to address him as future Hall of Famer Derek White, because he's going to arguably the best run franchise in the NBA, like, just in terms of player development and just sustained success, because they've been a 50 win team for every full season since I think 2000 or 2003. So yeah, he might be a future Hall of Famer, and none of us know it, but the Spurs know it.
And then a pick that I didn't really get was 17, DJ Wilson. So there was a run after that of four straight power forwards. I don't think they were the first of the four. I don't think he was the best one available. I think I like John Collins more than him. So I don't know why that the Bucks didn't grab him. But again, if it's their guy, it's their guy. Other than that, I think also Jared Allen will be interesting. I think that
I agree.
The Nets really need to start over, especially now that they shipped off Lopez to the Lakers.
And they have three Angelo.
So we'll see. And then also, Mason, the time of Latvia is now.
Is it? Are we being run now by the Latvian gangbangers?
It's Latvia is the new Spain for talent. I mean.
Apparently. Yeah, to go back to what you said, I like TJ Leaf more than I like DJ Wilson. So I was surprised the Bucks didn't take him, but, you know, I guess DJ kind of fits their MO and just in terms of just style of play. So that's, if I had to guess, that's why they picked him, that would be it.
Yeah, again, yeah, we'll see. If he fits their mold, then I guess that's why they pick mold over talent. But you never know. Time will tell, like you were saying. I think it's very interesting to see the draft being before free agency, so we have to see who some of these teams add and what these players actually become to them. But again, it's I think looking back, a year from now, we'll probably have a whole different picture than this draft than we do right now, which will be interesting to talk about.
Yep, for sure, for sure. So yeah, that wraps up our NBA draft coverage, and we did talk a little bit about the state of the NBA a little bit, but Max, so let me ask you my final question. What was your favorite pick of the entire draft?
So, my favorite pick, I'm probably stealing yours. I think I'm going to go with Malik Monk at 11. Okay. I think that was a steal right there. Like you said, I think he's going to be a fantastic player in the league, and I think that he's going to be one of those guys that those teams between 6 and 10 are going to be like, we had that chance to grab that guy, and we did it. So I think he's going to be that guy, and I'm really excited to see what he does.
Yeah. For me, this might be a cheap answer. Mine was the Timberwolves selecting Jimmy Butler. because that automatically puts them a little bit over the top and gets them closer to where they need to be. And now all they really need to do is build depth, and they can be a really serious contender in the West. So if I have to pick an actual draft pick, I'm going to pick Dennis Smith, because I think that works for talent and for fit.
All right. Is there anything else you would like to talk about today, Mason?
Other than just the Sacramento Kings are 2,188 champions.
Wow. You heard it here first, guys. I'm sure nobody has predicted that far in advance, so we'll see.
Yeah, but you know, at this rate, they might win one in 2,188. They might.
Well,
they might.
We probably won't be there to see it, but good for them.
Yes. All right, Max. Well, thanks for talking with me.
Hey, no problem. And for everyone out there listening to the Pressing Coverage podcast, thank you for listening. We do greatly appreciate it. If you do like what you hear, make sure to go and follow us on iTunes and give us 5 stars. And also make sure to follow us on all of our social media, Facebook, Pressing Coverage, Twitter, Instagram, @PressingCover. And make sure to go over to the main site, PressingCoverage.com, for more coverage. Have a good day, y'all.